Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8, and we'll be reading verses 5 through 13. Really, our focus will be on verse number 10. Jesus is going to marvel at the faith of a centurion. Let's think about that. God in flesh marveled at the faith of a Gentile centurion. And I want to try to talk to you this morning about a marvelous faith, a marvelous faith. Let's begin reading verse number 5 of Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the accurate testimony of the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that this is an historical event, not the fable or imagination of men. That there was an occasion, a time in history when these events actually took place. Jesus healed the centurion's servant, even though he wasn't physically present with him. He spoke the word, and it was done. Lord, we thank you for the example of faith that we have here before us this morning. And Holy Spirit, only you can help us to be able to understand the faith that we need to have and how our faith can be a marvelous faith as well. We want our faith to be strong and growing. And Lord, we want to trust you for great things. And so we pray you'd help us this morning with our faith. We ask God, if there's one here that has not put their trust and faith in Jesus, that they would do that today in this service, that they would be born again into your kingdom. We ask that you would just have your way in all of our hearts, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking at the subject or the doctrine, teaching, what the Bible teaches on faith. We first looked at the just shall live by faith. You cannot live the Christian life without living by faith. Now, you're not living by what you can do or your effort or your strength. You're living by depending on Jesus. That needs to grow in every one of our lives. We need to grow in our absolute dependence on Jesus for everything. And I would challenge you, even look to him in things that seem small and minor. If you're not going to look to him in things that seem small and minor, then you never will look to him when things get to appear to be big in our eyes. Amen? So the just shall live by faith. By faith we're saved. Amen? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? And then we also are sanctified by faith. That's how we grow in Christ. We don't grow because we develop a list on our own, and then we say, by the force of our will, I will do this, and I will not do that. I promise you, if you have a list like that, you've already broken it. Because when we say, I will not do that, most likely we are in danger of doing that very thing we said we would not do. Why? Because God wants us to know our power is not in ourselves, it is in the power of God. You can't become holy on your own. It takes the power of God to make you holy. Amen? And then in Hebrews chapter number 10, we need faith in times where we are suffering, when they're going through difficulties and persecution. The writer of Hebrews said, The just shall live by faith. It takes faith to go through a fiery trial. Amen? If you don't have faith as you're facing a fiery trial, you will get discouraged and you'll walk away from Jesus. You need faith when you're going through persecution or difficulty or fiery trial. That fiery trial will help you to become stronger in faith as you look to Jesus to get you through the difficulty of life. And so we also need faith when we are stymied, when we are just confused and we don't know what's going on. The world is falling apart. Have you ever been there? Habakkuk was. The Babylonians were coming in, the wicked Babylonians, and they were taking away the Jewish people, God's chosen people. The temple's being destroyed. The walls are being decimated. And Habakkuk says, what is going on? I don't understand this. I don't understand, God, how you can even use a Babylonian. And then he says himself, the just shall live by faith. When I am completely confused by life, faith keeps my eyes on Jesus. And I know that Jesus loves me, and whatever he's doing, he's going to work it out for his glory and ultimately my good. Amen? I'm telling you, we all need that kind of faith, because we're all going to reach these different places in life even after we're saved. Amen? And then last week we looked at four times Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. And we saw sometimes our faith is little because we focus on solving our own problems. That's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Jesus said, if God clothed the flowers of the field, the grass of the field, he will also clothe you. Now, very few of us ever say, God, I need you to give me garments to wear. Why? Because we can take care of that ourselves. Right? Even if I don't have a lot of money, I can still go down to Goodwill. We've got all these resources. You need to, I'm begging you, please give attention to this. We have all these resources, so we don't need God. And that's why our faith is little. Because we're not believing God for our food and clothing and our homes. We're not trusting God for that. We don't need God for that. I can handle that. No, you can't. And I promise you, it wouldn't take much for God to prove it to you. A little sickness, and you can't go to work no more. An accident that causes you not to be employed, or anybody to be able to employ you. We are all, no matter how strong or weak you are, we're all living by faith. Amen? Amen. And then we saw our faith is little sometimes when we forget God's word. Remember he said, go to the other side, the command was. And then in the middle of the sea, what happened? The boat started getting full. And they said, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? They forgot that he already commanded to go to the other side. And listen, we do this all the time ourselves. It maybe wasn't an obvious command. He said, go to the other side. Well, of course, if we're getting in the boat, he wants us to go to the other side. Maybe that's not what, maybe it wasn't a promise or a command. We even do that with the Bible, don't we? We forget his word. And when we forget his word, our faith is weak. It's little. We don't have nothing to cling to or hold on to. And then in Matthew chapter 14, when we get our focus off of Jesus. Remember, Peter is the only other man that walked on water other than Jesus. Right? What caused him to start losing faith and sinking? He looked at the problems, the storm, and not the Savior. Your faith is, a lot of times, your faith is weak because this is what you see, this big bill. Or this physical thing that you're facing, you see, ain't nobody can handle that. Or something other, but if you get your eyes on Jesus, you say, Jesus can. Amen? He's the one that got me out of the boat on the water. Right? If he can enable me to walk on water, then he can enable me to also do this and that. Right? And then finally, he says, when he used the phrase, the little faith, is in Matthew 16, when he said, hey, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they said, oh, it's because we didn't bring any bread. They're worried about bread. And Jesus said, don't you remember the 5,000 that we fed with just a few loaves and some fishes? And don't you remember just the other day we fed 4,000 with just 7 loaves and a few fishes? Why are you worrying about bread? And we have little faith when we don't build on our faith. God has done some remarkable things for every single child of God here. He's answered some of your prayers, and it has astonished you. And then you face a similar situation and you forget that God has ever done any work like that in your life. I've seen this happen over and over again. God helps a person in a specific area, and then 6 months, a year later, they're facing the same exact situation, and they're worrying just like they did the last time God met their need. And if you keep doing that, you're never going to have a stronger faith. It's always going to be little. But there's two times in the Gospels that Jesus marvels at something. Here he's marveling at the centurion's great faith. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 6, he marvels at their unbelief. Y'all want to see that? Turn to Mark 6:6 real quick. He marvels at their unbelief. He's done many wonderful miracles. Everybody knows Jesus can do anything. And yet in this town, he's limited. He's not able to do what he would do because they would not put their faith in him. He says in verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Sometimes you struggle with your faith. There are people that saw Jesus heal other people, and they still said, I don't believe he can do that for me. Or I don't believe he can do that for my son. Maybe those reports we're hearing about Jesus aren't true. I don't believe he can do that. And so Jesus could not do many wonderful works there. Why? And because of their unbelief. And he marveled at that. Now, either Jesus is going to marvel at your unbelief, or he may marvel at your belief. Amen? That's the two options. And I'm sad to report to you, most of us know which we normally land on. Most likely, he more marvels at our unbelief than he does our belief. I feel like the man in Matthew 17, that when Jesus come off the mountain, had the son that was possessed by a demon, and he said, you believe I can do this? And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus healed him anyway, amen? So this is an amazing faith the centurion revealed, and God wants our faith to be amazing. By the way, hasn't he demonstrated that he can do anything? That's the God that we know. I mean, y'all would agree with this. Has God demonstrated he can do anything? For us to not have faith in him is really, it's almost blasphemous, if I can use that stronger term, right? Because he's already proven time and time again that he can do anything, and creation proves it. Right? How did this world begin? God said, let there be light, and he created light. And then he said, let there be the oceans, the waters, and they were created. And on, God has done many things. And you and I should have a marvelous faith. Let me show you a few things about this faith. First of all, this was a marvelous faith because it was a hearing faith. If you go back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, he records the same exact miracle. Now, Luke does a little bit lengthier discussion about it. That's why Matthew kind of summarizes it. Luke says that he sent the elder of the Jews. And then Matthew says the centurion went. It's not a contradiction. The centurion did go when he sent the servants. Don't mean he physically went. It's like us saying this, Solomon built the temple. Well, do we mean that Solomon actually went out there and hammered everything into place and fit it? No, we meant that he's the one that was over charge of that. He was responsible for it. When he sent his servants, it was just like the centurion went himself. It's not a contradiction. But Luke records this. I want you to notice this. In verse number 3, And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. He had a dear servant that was sick, almost at the point, ready to die. And he heard of Jesus and Jesus' ability to heal. And you know what the centurion did? A marvelous faith. He said, go get this Jesus so he can come and heal this man for me. That's a marvelous faith. It's a marvelous faith when you hear what Jesus has done and you see that he'll do the same thing for you. Isn't that true? If Jesus has done this, then Jesus will also do this in my life. One of the reasons that we have great confidence in our salvation is because people who led us to Christ, their testimony is, I was lost and Jesus saved me. Amen. And I'm thinking, if Jesus can save them, Jesus can save me. In fact, in Romans chapter 10, when we hear about, you know, how our faith is to grow, in verse 17, it says, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in that context, it's talking about saving faith, right? You tell people how Jesus saved you and how he can save others, and then they'll put their faith in Jesus to be saved, and then they'll tell others, hey, Jesus saved me. If Jesus saved me, Jesus can save you as well. Amen? It's a faith that believes the record God has given to us is true. That centurion, when he heard reports of Jesus healing others, he didn't doubt that report. He didn't dispute that report. He said, I believe that's true. By the way, Jesus healed multitudes. Could you imagine if there was somebody really in America today that went around healing people? You could not keep that out of the news. And if God ever gave me that kind of power, the first thing I'd go to is the nearest hospital, and I'd start in room one, and I'd say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And I'd go through the entire hospital until it was emptied. Then I'd go to the next hospital. Amen? Jesus healed multitudes, and some, Mark 6, they had sick loved ones, and they never even brought one of them to Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 8, a centurion, Gentile, says, go get Jesus and tell Jesus to come and heal. It is a hearing faith. It is a faith that says, God has recorded this. This is who God is. This is God's character and God's nature. And I can trust God that God will take up this case and God will work on my behalf. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that God always heals everyone of any disease. I'm not saying that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Paul had a thorn in the flesh is one example. He also had a friend that was sick, and he just thanked God that God healed him. It was almost, God, you've been gracious to heal him. I thank you for that. So it's not a promise that God's going to always heal us of everything. Thank God one day in heaven we'll all be perfectly healed. Amen? Amen. So he will heal us all in the end. But there are many other instances in the Bible that you and I can just know without a doubt, I know God's going to work on this. I know, I have confidence in this. Some of you are praying again for your lost loved ones. And I promise you, if you pray for them for a lengthy period of time, sometimes your faith has been weakened and tested. In fact, you may even said this, we've been praying for them for so long and I don't see nothing happening. I don't see a tear when I talk to them about Jesus. It seems like they're still agitated about it. No change whatsoever. It doesn't look like God is doing anything, right? But I can guarantee you, based on the promise of God's word, that God is at work in their heart. You say, preacher, how can you know this? Because it's God's will that none should perish. And when we pray in God's will, we're confident that we have God, God is answering that prayer. I don't mean he'll force them to get saved, but he will strongly convict them of their sin. Amen? So what he's doing now in that lost one's heart, he's convicting them. He's putting people in their path to pass a track out to them. He's softening their heart. He's working in them. And prayerfully one day we'll see them come to faith in Christ. And many other great things that God has promised. If you can ever get a hold of a promise in God's word concerning your situation, don't ever let go of it. Just claim that promise before God and say, God, I know you're going to do this because I know your word says this is your will. Let me give you another example real quick. Some of you are struggling with sin. How are you going to overcome that sin? And you've tried real hard to overcome that sin. There is not a Christian here this morning that loves that the fact that he's guilty of some certain sin. And it may be very powerful in your life. But let me tell you, the only way to get victory of that is to come to Jesus and ask him for help. And you say, preacher, I've done that. Well, do it again. Because it is his will that we all are sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. That's what his will is. Amen? He said that in the book of Thessalonians. It's his will, God's will, that we be sanctified completely. If anything in our life is unholy and unchristlike, God wants to make it Christlike. That's what his will is. And so when you and I pray about that, we know God is going to work that out in us. Amen? So it's a hearing faith. It's a faith that says, Jesus has said this. I know Jesus will do it. It's also a humble faith. A marvelous faith has to be a humble faith. This man was a man that was truly humble. Now, he was a centurion, a Roman soldier, which meant they were really rough characters. You can be strong and you can be powerful in your physical strength and still be humble. When they went to Jesus, they said, Jesus, this is a man that is a remarkable man. He is. If anybody was ever worthy of God ever doing anything for them, they said, this is the man. I mean, he is. He calls his servant in Luke 7, it was dear to him. Men didn't treat their servants like that back in the days of Jesus. And then it says that he did some things for them. He said he's worthy. He said that he loved the nation of Israel. They said he's worthy, Jesus, because he loves Israel. He's worthy because he built the synagogue. I mean, Jesus, if you're going to ever do anything for anybody, you should do it for him because he's earned it. That's what they were saying, right? But when he came to Jesus and he approached Jesus, he did not say, Jesus, I deserve this. You know what he said? They said he's worthy. What did he say? I am not worthy. Now, a strong, marvelous faith realizes that. It always approaches God with humility. Listen to me. Without humility, there is no prayer. You have to be humble when you talk to God. And you have to be humble in prayer. Remember the two that went to the temple and prayed? The one, the righteous Pharisee. The other, the publican, the terrible sinner. And the righteous Pharisee said to himself, I'm glad I'm not like him. Aren't you glad the Bible put it that way? Because he was in the temple and his mouth was saying words, but he wasn't talking to God. Amen. How many of y'all know that's true? He was talking to himself. God was not hearing a single word. And I'm talking about receiving that in his ear and taking up that petition like it meant something. God wasn't receiving that petition. His ears were closed to that man's prayer. Why? Because that man's prayer was a prideful prayer. God rejects all prideful prayer. Anytime you come to God and say, God, you should do this because I do this. Now, don't shake your head because many of us have done that. We said, Lord, you know, I've been going to church and I've been paying my tithes and I've been doing this. And I've been doing, and God, you know, help me. I'm not. We always should approach the throne of grace with empty hands. Jesus was moved to hear this man's prayer because this man said to Jesus, everybody's talking about how worthy he is, and he said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm not worthy. But I do need your help.
Amen.
Lord, I need you to do something I cannot do. You see, where would that centurion go? He couldn't go to Caesar. Caesar wasn't interested in his servant. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
He couldn't go to the doctors of that day. He was paralyzed. He was dying. There was nothing that doctors could do. You know, here in 2026, there are some things that doctors are still baffled with. Things doctors can't do, right? He knew the only way to get help was to get help from Jesus. And the man was so humble that he said, Jesus, I'm not even worthy that you should come to my house. I'm not a big shot. It's not about me. It's not about where I live, Jesus. It's about this servant of mine. I've got to give him some help. And so, Jesus, would you help him? I'll tell you, those are great prayers. Too many of our prayers are, Lord, would you give me, 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 me. Amen? And it ought to be humble prayers. Lord, your will. I want your will above anything. I wonder how many of us could honestly say that. Lord, I want your will above anything. And when we know his will in the word, especially if the Spirit of God affirms that in our heart, we can pray with great confidence that God's going to answer that. We may not know when he's going to answer it, but we know he will. Are you all hearing what I said? It takes humble praying. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, if you would, please. Lord, would you address this issue in my life? You're the only one that can do anything about it. I can't, Jesus. It's too big for me. I need you to take this, Jesus, because I can't handle it. Amen? That's good praying. That's humble praying. Lord, I know who you are. I know that you love us. You care about us. You love us so much. You died at Calvary. But Lord, would you please help me with this? Do this gracious work. It was a marvelous act of faith because he believed what he heard about Jesus. And he humbly came to Jesus and asked him for help. And then lastly, I want you to notice this. It was a marvelous faith as well, because it was a faith that was an honoring faith. Look at what this man says to Jesus. Jesus, I'm a man of authority, just like you are. I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to this man, come, and he comes. I say to this man, do this, and he does it. Now, how is this an honoring faith? He knew Jesus was more than just a man. He knew that whatever Jesus said would happen. He knew that Jesus had authority that nobody else had. He even called Jesus Lord. If you remember, when Christians died all over Rome, it was because they wanted them to call Caesar Lord instead of calling Jesus Lord. Here's a centurion that says, Lord, you're above Caesar. It was an honoring faith because he recognized the authority of Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus, if you say a word, that settles it. Amen?
Amen.
All Jesus had, he said, you don't have to come here. You don't have to lay your hands on him. You don't have to see him in person. If you just say he's healed, as soon as you say that, he's healed. That's an honoring faith. And you and I need to have that kind of faith. That we realize the power of Jesus Christ. That Christ has the power and the authority to answer any prayer we offer up to him. Amen?
Amen?
By the way, he also has the authority to say to us, no. Now, we don't like no too much. But he has the authority to say no, right?
Yes.
Often when I'm trying to pray about some personal matters, I really try to present it to the Lord in that way. Lord, I do want your will done. If it means continued difficulty in this, or problems here, or pain there, or whatever it is, if that's your will, Lord, I want your will above my will. Because, why is that? Because his will is perfect. Amen?
Amen?
God knows everything. He's not confused like we're confused. When he starts working in our life, we don't know the end from the beginning. But God does. Right? Lord, why would you let all this come on me? Because over here I'm doing this. And we don't know what he's doing over here. So we just have to trust him and his authority that he knows what he's doing and what he's doing is best. But that means we're still to pray and say, God, would you please do this? And if you don't want to do this, then Lord, I'd be happy with your will whether you do this or not. Amen? He recognized, it's an honorable faith because he recognized the authority of God. Now, if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, I can promise you this. If you come and kneel in the altar and you say, Lord, I don't want to live for myself no more. I want Jesus to save me. And you'll ask Jesus to save you, he will. He's not going to say, well, come back next week. He's not going to say, let me think about that. I don't know if I want you saved or not. He's not going to do that. He will immediately rescue you from sin and hell's damnation. Amen? And bring you into his eternal kingdom.
Amen.
And there are many other things just like that that is his will to do. And he guaranteed you, if you pray, he will answer it with a yes. Amen?
Amen.
So you can trust him. Let's pray that our faith grows. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all had kind of a marvelous faith?
Amen.
That we're looking at something that seems impossible and we know in our spirit because God has given us that assurance, he's going to do this. I'll end with this. My mother-in-law went and saw a doctor and they said she had breast cancer. And it rocked my world. I mean, she is just as dear to me as my mother is. I love her that much. And I was fretting about. We would go to church. They wouldn't anoint her with oil and pray for her. And I was like, preacher, we got to do something. You know, we can't just go on like nothing's happening. We got to do something. And they were praying about it. And in her heart, when she was praying about it one time, she said, God said to her, Marianne, I'll see you through this. I'll see you through this. You're going to have to face all of it, but I'll see you through it. It's not going to take your life. I'll see you through it. They were going to a doctor's and they were wondering if the cancer had spread into the lymph nodes. And we were waiting for the test to come back. And we were around the altar and I was near Brother Otis, her husband, and he was saying, God, I thank you the test come back negative. Lord, thank you for that. They hadn't gotten the test yet. But God has spoken to his heart. And he turned a petition, Lord, please don't let that come back positive. Lord, please have mercy on us. My wife's faced enough. Would you please? Until God revealed to him, hey, I'll take care of that. And it went from a petition to praise. God, thank you. Guess what? When the test came back, it hadn't spread. I remember kneeling beside him when he prayed that prayer. That's a prayer of faith. That's a prayer that says, God, I heard what you want to do. And I praise you for doing that. Amen?
Amen.
May our faith grow until Jesus is pleased with it. Amen?
Amen?
Would you come and talk to him about your faith this morning? Or if you're lost, would you come and trust him as your Savior? Let's stand for prayer. Father, please help us. Lord, this is a wonderful event that happened in the life of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for healing the centurion's servant. We thank you for recognizing the faith of the centurion when he knew that you were healing, and your reports were you were healing all. And he knew if you heard about this servant's need that you'd also heal him. And he asked you to do that. And Lord, you just spoke a word and it was done. Lord, would you speak a word in our lives as well? God, we have lost loved ones, and we know you want them saved more than we could ever want them to be saved, but Lord, they're heavy on our heart because we prayed, and we've not seen any movement in their life towards you, Jesus. And we pray this morning that you would speak to them again, convict them again, trouble them. God, please save our lost loved ones. God, we ask you that you would help us, Jesus. We've got issues in our life that we can't handle. Or it's heartbreaking to us to have to face them. And the truth is, God, only you can make a difference. And we ask you that you would, Lord, speak to hearts of your children and bring about a work that would bring glory and honor to you. Lord, if there's one here this morning that's lost, please give them the courage, wisdom to come. Say yes to Jesus. They'd be saved in this service. Please, Lord, have your way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to page 505.